Okay, let's open up with a word of prayer. Yes? Morning, everyone. Heavenly Father, we want to say good morning to you. We want to thank you for this beautiful morning and Sunday that we can come and worship you. Thank you for bringing us into your kingdom so that we can be part of this family, experience your love and your care, your miracles in our lives. Thank you for this time where we can indeed soak into your word and come together and learn more about you. We ask that your spirit will focus us, open our eyes and ears, and prepare our hearts to receive what you have for us this morning. We worship you from before you with a sincere heart and a humble heart. Just waiting to receive from you, Lord. Whatever we're going through this morning, Lord, may you speak to us yourself, and that your spirit will remind us of your goodness, recall the miracles that you have done in the past. Thank you. Pray all this in your name. Amen. All right. Last week, you know what? I forgot to actually mention this. You know, I spent time doing the website so that it can be in this format for a reason, for ease of use, and that you guys can, you know, just go over it on your phone or computer. But there's actually another reason I did that, so that it can function on its own. It's materials that you can use already, so that you can, so that...
I was whispering.
Yes.
you and
no
I
problem, it's okay. You can whisper. And you can use the website to teach. That's the purpose.
Yeah,
turn on my camera. Right, of course. That's the reason why we got a video. Oh, you can see me now? Yes, okay. And I actually wanted to do this so that the study of Mark can continue. if any of you wants to have it continued. So you can actually, I want you to think about it, that you can actually take the same website, right, and run a course and teach Sunday school. The materials are written out for you already. You've gone through it once if you've been in this class, and you can actually teach the Book of Mark. It's I know it sounds kind of daunting, but it's possible because the materials are there, the questions are there. If you are interested, I encourage you to email me, and we can work together to kind of tailor the class, add a few more questions, and some of the comments that we learned from each other in the past 18 weeks, and kind of tinker around with it a little bit. The bulk of the study material is up there for you already. So if you want to read it, I don't know how that will work. Another Sunday school is okay, right? Yeah? And you can lead it. And if you want to, for the next quarter, I'll lead it with you. If you want to, I'll co-lead it with you. That would be fun. That would be fun. I would be more than glad to go over the Book of Mark again. Okay? So, with that said, think about it. Let me know. Even if you had interest, again, I'll co-lead it with you. But we're moving on to miracles. Miracles by. And today, the introduction. I didn't send the link last week, but you will get it by in 30 minutes.
Oh, it's timed.
It's timed.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
It's time to release.
It's time to release. You guys will get it. Okay. So check your emails. Okay. All right. Before I start, just off the top of your head, when you think about miracles, what's your definition? What do you think about? It's not a right or wrong answer, just what comes to mind when you think about miracles? Don't say Encanto, because it's all about miracles there too, right? But we're not talking about that kind of miracle.
Sing it.
Sing it.
Well, something you desperately need, but don't think it could ever happen to you.
Okay. Yeah, that's good, Janet. Something you desperately need, but you actually don't think it can ever happen to you. You know, there's a tension there in that already, Janet. I really want it, but I know it's never going to happen. A little bit downer. Right? No, I think that way too, Janet. Why are we studying this, right? We'll get to that. Yeah, because that's actually a reason why we must study it. Right? Okay. Thank you. Anyone else?
Something that's supernatural and extraordinary.
Extraordinary. Okay. Supernatural.
Yeah, I was going to say supernatural.
Supernatural.
And a supernatural, like, evidence that displays, like, the power of God.
The power of God. Okay. Add
to that.
That is definitely the underscore answer. You got it.
Plus.
You got it. Plus.
You've been this too long.
You've been this too long. Shouldn't ask you. Anyone else? You don't need to give Pastor Alex's answer.
I was also going to say supernatural and then like something that's normally impossible by like the laws of the world kind of thing. Like,
okay.
Natural law, yeah.
Yeah. So above natural law.
Defies.
Right? Defies natural law. Okay, yeah.
Usually it's a positive outcome.
A positive outcome? Usually, yes. Usually a positive outcome.
If you call something a miracle,
it's a good thing.
It's a good thing.
But back to what Janet said, but yeah, it's never going to happen. But yes, it's usually...
No, I didn't say it never happens.
Almost.
Now you're twisting your words.
It feels like it almost never happens. Okay, yeah, I'm twisting your words. I'm sorry.
or like creating something out of nothing.
Creating something out of nothing.
Right? Or yes. Making something happen out of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's the other inverse, like taking something away where... actually supposed to be there.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. Okay, yes. Yes, and that's certainly part of the miracle. Yeah. It can be either, right? Usually the outcome is good. Usually the outcome is good. We will see that sometimes maybe the outcome may not be what it's intended to be throughout the course of our studies. Okay, anything else? That's pretty good, right? That kind of sums up. Do you have something, Elise? It's okay. I just thought I saw your eyes. I can't read your mouth. So. it covers most of it, right? Okay. Well, we're going to kind of just go through the definition for miracles, okay? And let's go through this first, if you guys can see. So you guys see it. Definition of miracle. So here's Pastor Alex's definition. It's on here already. Okay, a work wrought by, I got this from an old book, by divine power for divine purpose by means beyond the reach of man. These are actually just definitions that theologians or commentators have put down, right? So an event or effect in the physical world deviating from the known laws of nature.
Nature.
That's what was mentioning that. Daniel, right? Or transcending our knowledge of these laws on extraordinary, abnormal event brought about superhuman agency. That's actually Webster's definition. A miracle is not a violation of the laws of nature, but the introduction of a new agent. It's an occurrence, which I like the number four the best. It's an occurrence at once above nature and above man. So it's one single incident live that you see that's above nature, above man, supernatural, extraordinary, right? Let's see some of the definitions of from the Old Testament, okay? I have these two words from the Old Testament that speaks of signs and wonders. They don't actually say miracles. In the Old Testament, these are two words, both, which is the witness or presence of divine presence. Can someone read Exodus 4:9? If you guys can see it. Okay, I'll read it.
Exodus
4:9.
If they will not believe even these two signs or listen to your voice, you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground, and the water that you shall take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground.
Yeah. So signs in the Old Testament means miracles, means something that's superhuman, something that wrought by God, right? And then the second word is wonder and marvel. It's mo faith. So
that's
interesting. Okay. It's a special display of God's power we see in 1 Chronicles 16:12. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his marvels, and the judgments he uttered. So anything that he does that is beyond the human understanding, extraordinary, is marvelous, right? It's wonderful. Okay, so today we're just going to kind of go through some understanding, some definitions. May not get into too many discussion, but I think that's okay. We're kind of lay the groundwork before we get into the miracles, okay? So in the New Testament, there's three Greek words that are principally used for miracles. Simeon, which is a sign again. You guys can see the verse, and Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Terada is wonders, that is kind of in conjunction with mo faith, causing events producing astonishment in the beholder. Acts 2:17-19 says, "And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke." And then, of course, the third one is dunamis. A lot of us know, which is power, mighty works, superhuman power of a new and higher power. And this, when Paul was saying in Romans 15, says, "By the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ." So when I kind of wrote this out and I see all this definition, I'm like, I went to where Janet was asking, you know, don't you wish you can have some of these miracles in life? But we kind of, and I said, why? I actually stopped and I said, why am I studying this if it's not going to happen? Have you guys thought about that? Is that a tough question? Is that a question we can ask? Why do we study this when none of us, I shouldn't say none of us, I am very skeptical of a miracle happening. Or just, is it just, it's probably just me. Or maybe you too. Why do we study it? You guys ask. Not because we say he's a supernatural God. But we don't see supernatural things. Why do we study it? Is that a question we can ask?
There's no right or wrong, right?
There is. No. No, come on. It's okay. Yeah, it's okay.
The first thought that comes to my mind is we get a better understanding of who God is.
Okay. How so?
You know, not, you know, we always talk about God being about love and, all powerful, all this, all that, all present. But he is also a God of miracles.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
So we get a better, a full perspective of who God is.
Yeah. Yeah, we get to see that he is a God of miracles. Now, is there a tension there when you don't see the miracles?
Yes.
Does that bother you?
Yes.
It does bother you. How does it bother you?
Because it's not happening to me.
It's not happening to you, right? So you feel, well, if it's not happening to me, how does this apply to me? It's a discussion we can have, right?
Can you restate the question again just one more time?
I guess the question is, how, why do we even study miracles when we don't think it's going to happen?
Well, I was thinking, how do we know what miracles are if it were not defined by the miracle creator, right? God created things out of nothing, that is a miracle in itself, and there's no way for us to identify it.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't even know.
You wouldn't, yeah. You wouldn't know it's a miracle,
yeah,
it's just sitting in front of you.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
So
I think
it's, the Bible really defines it in such a way where it's so great that we're expecting, like, it's, you know, those great things that we see in the Bible, we know what that is, right? And then I was thinking, I don't know, my mind always goes all over the place when I think about this kind of stuff. But, you know, I guess the expectation is also something that we would consider for ourselves, right? Like our own personal expectation of what a miracle would look like in my life. Well, something that I often tell the kids is, gosh, like the miracle of the sun rising every day. That's amazing. Like, that's, if you really think about that kind of stuff, you know, like allowing ourselves to marvel in those everyday miracles, it's a big thing, you know? That's life, right? God allowed that to happen. But setting expectations, I think that's something to consider as well.
So setting expectations of what miracles are.
No,
our expectations.
Our expectations,
okay.
Yeah, but
yeah.
I think the Bible defines miracles beyond our mind can imagine.
Okay. So, yeah. Sorry, I think, can you state the question again?
Sorry.
Why do we study miracles when we don't think miracles will happen?
Right, so I want you to repeat that, right?
Yeah.
Because it's very one way.
Yeah.
Okay. That question is one way.
Why is it one way?
Because not everyone, that's a strong statement.
Oh,
one
it's
way.
Statement.
It's a statement.
Okay. That's why I asked.
Okay.
Why?
Yeah, the reason why is that then it's like, oh, well then, do I really feel that way?
Do you feel that way?
I don't know.
Okay. Peter disagrees with the question.
Oh, because someone may not be able to answer the question because they don't believe, they do believe that they can happen.
It can happen.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Some people do believe. Yes. Okay.
So then you can't answer the question if that...
I disagree with the question.
Right.
Yes, okay. So the closed question. Who disagrees with the question? Nobody. You guys do agree with the question.
I think I'll answer your original question. Is that
I think cognitively, I guess, I study the miracles because it helps me see like the range of things that God is able to do, right? So it's like I get to see who God is. Now, my heart, even if my brain were to say, oh, that doesn't happen today, my heart still hopes. I think that's why we still keep pressing in. It's
yes.
Like there's a hope that God will do something in my life, whether it looks like that or not. But it's the hope of, wow, my God is able, so I'm just going to be open-handed and wait and see and not be closed off to what he could or might do.
Yeah.
And but in my mind, I'm like, that's probably not going to happen. So there's this kind of, you know, back and forth, but ultimately, it's still that hope. I don't know, but I hope.
And faith, that's faith, of hope, what is unseen, right? That is the actual practice of faith. And there is that tension. Miracle, I don't say I disagree with my question, right? But I also agree kind of with my question because there is that tension, like what Bob said, hey, it doesn't happen to me. But I need the hope, and God offers the hope. There's that tension there. How does that work? And what is the design? I think it goes back also to what Nancy said. We need to kind of set some expectations in our mind, and we need to understand what miracles are for.
I think it's an interesting question because I think there's always, in human nature, we seek sensationalism to prove God to us. When I look at these definitions, you know, something that proves a divine purpose, something that exhibits the presence of a working God, I see that in my daily life. You know, do I say that that's a miracle? I guess I don't seek miracles, you know, because I feel like maybe because I'm just not that kind of a person. Right? Like,
ain't no miracle.
Like, I don't seek that, you know?
Okay.
I just seek, like, God's presence. And to me, like, I don't feel like, oh, is that a miracle? Does that make me feel like, does that take me on a high or whatever, right? Like, not really. That's not really what I, strive to see or something, you know? But like, I think whatever the Lord has to prove, you know, he is proving in my life, you know, and it doesn't have to be through a miracle. And I think he has more than enough proof of his active working divine, you know, power already, you know? And I understand how some people may need the giant, you know, like sign or wonder that's like earth moving, you know, what, you know, those kinds of things. But like, I guess like I've never heard for that as much, you know. Maybe it's a personality thing, but I don't, it's funny because looking at the definition, it almost makes it less miraculous, you know, and more just kind of like, this is what the Lord does in our life.
And it goes back to what Nancy says, maybe he does it, we just don't see it. We don't know that that's a miracle.
Yeah. Okay. Like, I feel like in the Old Testament especially, it was evidence to prove something, you know, his plan of salvation, you know, Jesus' deity, his, you know, it was for a specific purpose. Of course, there's lots of purposes of miracles, you know, in people's lives too. But like, do we not have those evidences as well now? But now I'm thinking, you know, going to the, what is the difference between God's just handiwork every day, creative work, you know, with the sunrise, sunset, versus these, I would almost call them interventions, you know, the miracles that we see in the Bible and the ones the act of God that is labeled as miracle, signs, and wonders is almost like a intervention. It's not a, you know, the faithfulness of God and the, you know, like day-to-day, everything that he does all the time. God's always at work, right? So we can see evidence of that everywhere. But miracles, it's like, it's kind of like a wake-up call almost. Like, hey, people, pay attention because God is here almost. That's how I feel it. And because I agree with Cindy. One time I did ask God, I'm like, why do I see miracles in my life? And God's like, because you don't need one. You already believe in me. I'm like, okay, good point. But still, like, but also there's a part of me that I wish there would be miracles in or around my life so that the non-believers could see the demonstration of the power of God in my life or through my life or around my life. You know, isn't that the point of it, is to bring the non-believers back to, like, hello, there's a God here, he's all powerful. So to me, the miracles is not like, oh, it'll keep my faith going. That's already settled with. It's for the non-believers, right? So anyway, so I'm just kind of thinking aloud here, but now I'm thinking, wow, miracles really are kind of an intervention almost, that points to God. So, and then when we wake up, it's like, oh, everything, God's doing everything. And then so we come into this relationship and life of gratitude and amazement of what he does on a daily basis.
You know, you said it very well. I mean, for me, sometimes I just want miracles for me, right? So you want a miracle somehow? Sometimes I just want a miracle in my life, a miracle, right? You know, that goes, huh?
I need more faith.
I need more faith in my life. Cindy mentioned something about miracles that, you know, there's a lot of sensationalism, right? So we're kind of primed for that. That's why, you know, we don't see the waters part, you know, the water into wine type of thing. And it even reflects in some of our songs. I don't want to ruin anyone's worship songs. But one of the songs that really bothered me is like, there's a song that's, do what you are famous for. You know, that really bothers me when I was studying this, because he's almost like, hey, do that thing, God, that you're famous for. He's like a dance for me. Yeah, right? I think we have flipped it around. As much as God is gracious, he is our friend, and he is merciful, he's not our genie either, and he's holy God.
Yes.
How do you just do what you're famous for? Just do it.
Yeah, you're telling a monkey to do.
Yeah,
like,
dance for me.
Yeah.
Sing for me. I think we need to lay the groundwork for these before we give it. And when we watch God's miracles, yeah, he's going to do it. And it's going to be so, I think it's going to be eye-opening for us too. But we need to remember, I can't sing those lyrics. That's when I said, I'm sorry. Hey, again, I don't want to ruin that song for you guys. I may have done that. But I can't say, do what you're famous for. It's a little odd way of writing those lyrics, of using those words. So we do understand that miracles are in the hands of God. And part of the thing is, we need to know the design of miracles. We need to know the design, right? That's back to the definition. That's kind of setting the expectation, is a proof of divine revelation. Yes. He doesn't need to prove it to us, but when he does want to, when he does miracles, it is to prove of himself. Apart from miracles, we have no other evidence of supernatural working on man's behalf in time of crisis. He does intervene. That's what Rev is talking about. He intervenes. That's when a miracle at one incident is very apparent. He intervenes in a time of crisis. It's a symbol, insignia of God's act of mercy and redemption. There's a design. When a miracle happens, it is to show us mercy, his mercy, and his redemption. Mercy is given in God's timing, right? According to him. And there's always a twofold design. This is, I want us to hone in on this. It's always a physical and a spiritual outcome during a miracle. You see the physical, like the burning bush, the physical part of it, but there's always a spiritual result from the miracle. So whenever we are studying the miracles, we want to ask, what's the physical and what's the spiritual side of it? It's not just, oh, he did a miracle, he saved us. But there's always a spiritual side of it too, but there's both. Any questions or comments? Doers of miracles, of course, we know all this, except evil agents in the back, right? Someone read 2 Thessalonians 2:9. The outcome is not always good. Be careful.
The coming of a lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders.
Yeah. So there are false signs, false wonders, false power as well. It's a counterfeit. It does not bring mercy and redemption. There's no holiness to it. I would say a holy spiritual activity to it. But nonetheless, it is a miracle. But it's also done by evil agents, the spirit of lawlessness as well. So these are the doers of miracles, right? We mentioned earlier the division of miracles, the different kinds of miracles. The power over nature, its power over disease, power over death, and power over demons. So when we see miracles throughout the Bible, we're going to see these four aspects each and every time. It's one of these. Does that help to kind of lay the simple groundwork of what miracles are and why it's there? I think, you know, most of us know that, but it's helpful to be reminded of this, right? The design of the miracles, why it's there as we're studying it. And why do we study it when we may not be experiencing these miracles? Part of it, I think Rez mentioned it earlier, to give us hope. We need that hope. Another one, of course, to recall, to remember who God is and the range of who he is. But as I was studying, preparing this, I was shocked to find out, and hopefully you guys will see that as well, as you're meditating on the verse this coming week, in Genesis, you'll see that, yes, okay, the miracle of creation, but there's more to why we study it. There's actually a very direct application to our lives, even without seeing God creating a planet before your eyes, even without seeing that. But just studying and recalling and remembering why God performed that miracle actually has a very direct impact to your very day. And we'll get into that. But this may be the same question I asked earlier, but what do you hope to gain by reading and meditating on the miracles of the Bible? Why? What do you hope to gain? What are your expectations? We kind of simplify the definition here. What are your expectations? What do you hope to gain?
I mean, the God's word is for me. So I mean, kind of loops back to originally what I meant to say is I want to be able to identify when miracle is happening because God's word is for me.
Mm.
It's a daily thing.
Yes. It's going to happen.
Yes. Amen.
Okay. As we are looking through these passages of miracles, no, you're not going to see the flood part. There's no need for that. You're not going to see that. Okay, but you will see, and you will have a better understanding of how that miracle applies to your life. Yes.
I'm saying add to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, really like learning how to expect it in our life.
Yes. And that faith for it will be, it will be not what it was. It didn't come out the way I thought it would be. In the sense where I'm going to have faith for this incredible thing to happen, right? Yes, you can. But that faith is actually, I know I'm being a little bit ambiguous, but because I don't want to kind of define it for everyone right now. I want all of us to experience that on our own. But that faith will come in many different ways, not just the faith for the extraordinary.
Yeah, if I can piggyback off of them, what Nancy said resonates with me. It's, you know, I want to recognize that a miracle is happening. Maybe miracles have happened in my life, but I don't. Maybe I don't understand the definition or the what a miracle really is.
Yeah.
So I would like to recognize it more. I would like to see it more in my life.
Yeah.
And then maybe, and I'm just thinking out loud right now, is that if I recognize that there's more miracles occurring in my life, maybe I would be more in awe of God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow, you really love me enough. I mean, I know confidently, right? God loves me, right? But man, to really feel it, to experience it, then that,
maybe
for me, just personally for me, it would help to be more in awe. Because I don't, there are days, God is so great, wonderful. And then there are other days where like, you know, I don't give God the credit that he deserves. I don't lift him up as he deserves. Even on my best day, I don't feel like I put him on, you know, this, I don't, you know, this stand, you know, this pedestal that he deserves to be. But to me, it's just all cognitive. It's all information, right? That, yes, I know God is God. God is all powerful, all of this, all that, right? But I feel like I'm in a season where, yeah, I feel like I need to see these miracles. Like, however, you know, not like parting of the sea or like clouds of smoke or like fire coming down from heaven, right? Nothing like that. But maybe for me personally, like, I need to understand what miracles actually are. Because I think it's, the fire in the sky, right? But maybe God has performed miracles. I'm just ignorant to it. So maybe if I see it, then I would be more in appreciation of who God is and more in awe of him.
Well, and maybe by studying the miracles that have happened, will also be helping you to appreciate him and be in awe of him, just with the miracles that have happened, right? All the miracles in the Old Testament, the New Testament. Maybe by studying that, you grow into even, and you get to experience
the appreciation. I mean, I don't think I've caught it correctly, but in Sunday school, God created this, 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 right? On the first day, on the second day, it's like, theoretically, cognitively, I get it. But I never knew it. I think this is possibly good because I never really applied it to being like, where's the application? To like you said, there's a direct application, but
yes.
I guess, you know, you'll unpack that.
Yeah, definitely. Anyone else?
I would like to know or to learn kind of a twofold. Like, one, what is God's, I guess, intentions or purpose for these, with these miracles? Like, what is he getting at? Because I don't think the miracles are in and of itself, like, you know, what God is trying to do. But there's more to why he's doing these miracles.
Mm-hmm.
And in knowing why, I would also like to know what posture should I have in regards to these miracles and God, because your list right there where it says, my eyes are bad, the division of miracles, it doesn't say power over money and to make you rich, you know, power over, relationships to make you better, you know, it's very like, I was like, oh, they're very like four clear categories, and I'm sure there's more, but I'm like, huh, like, the kinds of miracles that I'm asking for, are they even relevant? Like, does that even...
I think somewhere here.
Yeah, where is that?
It's probably in
overall,
here.
I'm sure they all fit, but I think what I realize is that I might be missing the heart of what God is actually trying to do through these miracles.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I wouldn't want to miss out on the true purpose and of miracles. So again, it's like, what does God do with miracles? Like, what is the whole purpose of that? And what posture and expectations can I come with in regards to miracles? I guess it's...
Then you will.
Wow.
Because I think...
Yeah, you get it. You get it. I'll do miracles.
That's our final project. Okay? I think one very important word you said was posture. We will experience and we will, I think, naturally, these miracles when we study, it's not how I designed it, it's how God designed it. Naturally, when we study these miracles, we will assume a certain posture. And there is a spiritual effect to studying these miracles that it sets us towards a certain posture towards God. Without even me trying, right? Or teaching. And if you're studying it and you're meditating on it, that's what the Word of God will do naturally. That's what the Holy Spirit will do. He will position your posture in a certain way that you might not have before. Anyone else?
When I see what you wrote there, we can play a part in miracles. And I guess my thought then is like, how can I play a part in miracles? Can we be the conduit of miracles? And also, like, when we look at the things that people can do in the Old Testament or New Testament, whatever we are doing now as Christians, it's kind of like child's play. It's like, why are we not tapping into that same power? Like, how do we reach that same power? How do we become that conduit of miracle?
Lily, that's the question that I ask. And as I'm studying this, preparing for this, that's what I wrestle with. Why am I studying it? Because I haven't been a conduit of any miracles. We say, oh, we've got miracles. We have it on our shirt, but we haven't experienced miracle. I don't know how to answer that, but I do know that in week three, this is week one, right? Week two, week three, when we study the burning bush, I think Moses has an answer for us. Anticipate that. I think he has an answer for us for that question, Lily. How do we become a conduit? And is this something that we reach for? That would be a discussion. That would be a study for us when we study the burning bush. And but I can't answer that today because I don't fully know the answer. Because this is a group study. We study it together and see what God's word will teach us. But very good question, because that's the exact question that I
wrote. Yeah, and I didn't expect you to answer it.
Huh?
She didn't expect you to answer.
Oh, okay. All right.
I didn't.
Yeah, but that is a very good question. And that is a question we should not avoid, but bring ourselves before God and into this class, into that discussion. I think it's a very healthy question and tension that we have as believers. Anyone else? He's trying to get into this right here. Oh. Why does it do that? Why does it make it so difficult?
Just use your screen. Just use your own screen.
I can't. This is up there.
Oh,
it has to be like, didn't you have to like make it smaller?
Or you zoom out? Or no. It's a remote.
Yeah, oh, zoom out, right?
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. I need a miracle.
There you go.
Okay. All right. So you should have the link already, but this is next week, and we're going to talk about creation. Okay?
How do you get the link?
And that's my question on there. The way I'm doing this, I don't know how it's going to work. I basically put my notes up there. You guys already can go into it. There's no reveal. You'll know what I'm going to talk about. If you don't want to, it's designed in a way where I'll still teach the class, and you can just see it for the first time. But if you want to go through it, you can already, and kind of think about of creation. So this is next week. We'll kind of go through that. I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be interesting. All right. Any on time? Okay. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, even through all the technical difficulties, we know that what our heart is after really is who you are, despite all the technology. And whether we have the link or not, or the lesson, you know our hearts, and you know that we are striving after you. We want to meet you. We want to know you more. We want to experience and encounter you however way we can, but mostly through your word and by inviting your spirit to fill us more and more. Lord, that's what we're asking for. And that in the next month or two, Lord, we ask that that your word will begin to do transformation and our posture towards you and our faith towards you, that you expand our faith, that you that we see you much bigger than what we see right now, and that with or without miracles, Lord, we know that in faith that you are a God of the supernatural. You are able. And we want to begin to set our eyes towards that great God that we believe in. And we want to set our eyes to your great love, great care. Everything about you is magnified through your word. May we tune into that and open our hearts to that. And I know that you will do something in our lives. You will do something in our families, in our church, in our country. Anyone around us that puts our faith in you. We trust you, believe in you, pray all this in your name.
Amen.